Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you please be seated? There are times in the Gospel where Jesus is so uncompromising, so abrupt, so clear on the point. "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Now that word, "unless," it seems quite categorical, doesn't it? It's sort of like, unless there is rain, there is no crops. We must be born of water and the Spirit. We have to start again. The problem is, I think, that a lot of Christians stop at that point, stating that we must be born again, but saying nothing about what happens after. However, as important as first commitment is, it's also, and Christian life is very much about this, daily seeking rebirth in the power of the Spirit. And the first step of that is seeking Jesus. Now, Nicodemus was a man of distinction and outstanding character. He was intelligent, honest, and upright. John tells us in his gospel, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." No doubt, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he had heard about Jesus. We don't know why he came at night. Perhaps he came to have a private meeting with Jesus and ask all the questions that he wanted to ask. He was a religious man, and we know that he took his religion seriously because he was a member of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was preeminent among his associates. He had a high position. And he was also discerning in his estimation of Jesus. He says these words, "We know you have come from God as a teacher." But most importantly in this story, we see that Nicodemus was a seeker, a person who was sincere in his quest for the kingdom of God. He was a sincere man with a hunger for truth, and who came to have a talk with Jesus in the quietness of the night, away from those who would distract. Jesus had something that he did not have. And Nicodemus, like each of us, was seeking something more in life, looking, longing for spiritual truth that would fill the gap that he felt in his heart. His whole life was a religious exercise, yet he realized that Jesus had something that he did not have. And so the second step in this daily experience of being born again and transformed is understanding our need. Now, I know the words born again in church circles and sometimes out of church circles can be filled with controversy. But I think we need to always take it in its wider sense. The phrase born again doesn't refer to a narrow, emotional, cultic, fringe type of Christianity. It refers to new birth. And that isn't a fringe idea. It's dynamite. Because it's about a creator God who breaks into our lives miraculously. It's not something, some kind of strange, bizarre doctrine for very dogmatic people. It's for everyone. And there could have been nobody who was more shocked to hear that we have to be born again than the man that we hear about in our gospel this morning, Nicodemus. Our reading tells us he was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he supposedly had all the right credentials to be accepted by God. Surely he doesn't have to start over. Not him. He's a disciplined man. He was a senior teacher in Israel. He's even quite an open-minded man because he comes to Jesus to ask these questions. And so he's deeply shaken when Jesus says to him, "You need to be born again." And Jesus says, "I'm not talking about physical worldly things. I'm talking about spiritual things. We need to be born spiritually. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And it's what God does in the power of the Spirit. We hear it in verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So it's not something I do or we do. It's something that God does, and it's miraculous. It's a miraculous intervention from God. He brings us life in the Spirit. He radically changes us and our thinking. He gives us a changed mind and a will and emotion, and our whole personality wants to go in a different direction. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily process. It's part of the everyday process of Christian living. And we start to think the way that he thinks. And consequently, we start to act in his way. It's about a radical change in our hearts. And we cannot do it for ourselves. We have to respond daily to Jesus' invitation. And we hear those immortal words of Nicodemus that have been asked through the centuries, "How do I come into the kingdom of God?" And Jesus gives the ultimate answer. He says, "Come on in." And John gives us these words, these amazing words that have been the center point of what the church has done for millennia. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life." That, my friends, is the essence of the gospel. And the essence of what we celebrate on Trinity Sunday. So daily, we need to go to Jesus and ask him to know how we can continue to grow and experience God's presence in our lives. And we will find that in response to our request, Jesus continues to invite us to grow into his kingdom, to know more of God's presence. And God, the Holy Spirit, continues to do that transforming work in our hearts and our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.